If you would, turn with me to 2 Kings, chapter number 6, and we'll try to just give you a message the Lord's laid on her heart. Just pray for us this morning. I want to obey God, and I want to be found in His will. I studied this thought here in here in 2 Kings chapter 6 as a Sunday school lesson, and yesterday I prayed and studied about it, and I did notice that it was about salvation. And of course, that's not unusual for us to teach on salvation in our Sunday school. We need to study about salvation. We need to study about, you know, how we can lead others to Christ and so forth. But as I studied, you know, as a Sunday school, and then Brother Rick called last night and he said, "Brother, you need to pray about having something ready for tomorrow." And I said, "Okay, yeah." He said stuff like that before, you know, but I said, "He'll be there." And this morning it wasn't but 8 o'clock or so, he called and said he just wasn't going to be able to come. And immediately I know that what I thought was a Sunday school lesson was the message for this morning. And so just pray for us as we try to be led of God. 2 Kings chapter number 6. And stand with us this morning, if you would, and honor and reverence the reading of God's Word. And we'll read the Scripture, we'll pray, we'll try to deliver the message the Lord has laid on her heart this morning. 2 Kings 6 and 1, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. Verse 6, And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick, cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it." And so this morning you can be seated. We'll go to the Lord in prayer, ask for his help. God, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity to be in your house. Thank you, God, for the precious testimonies that we've heard, the precious singing. God, I'm glad that you are leading us. You are pointing us in a direction in our lives, God, that points to Calvary. God, help us to follow that direction. God, help us to be found in thy precious will. God, help us this morning, God, to preach the precious riches, unsearchable riches of Christ this morning. And God, that everything Jesus would receive the glory and honor in this place. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Here in this passage of Scripture, we see among the ministry of Elisha up to this point. Of course, he came after Elijah. Elijah was a great man of God. He faced difficult times. He preached in the midst of times of apostasy. And it was no different for the ministry of Elisha. They were wicked kings. There were people following after strange gods and people that were doing wicked things in Israel's time during the time of Elisha. And I think about how that the preachers have come on before me and they preach the truth. They preach the Word of God. And you know what? It's no different in our time. There's still perilous times. There's still times that we're going to have to face and take a stand on the Word of God. But you know what? It's a little bit different, I believe, as I look at this, because Elisha and Elijah both, they preached in times when a lot of times they was about the only one. It was them and the Lord that was taking a stand. Everybody at times were against them. You know what? I feel pretty confident this morning that I could come up to every single one of you, especially those that are regularly attend Bible Way, and you would tell me, "Brother, you preach the Word of God, and you preach, and you tell what's in that old book, and we believe that Bible, and we believe it to be true." And you know what? That is encouraging. But you know what? It was different in their times. Amen. Not the people they was preaching to. Amen. Didn't like what they had to say. And so the ministry here of Elisha was one of opposition. It was one here that we see there was miracles that were being performed, and he was following the Lord's will and seeking His direction. And here we reach a time whenever they are the what's referred to here as the sons of the prophets. Most of the commentators that you read, they'll liken this into maybe something like a Bible college. Amen. They was learning the Word of God, and they reached a time whenever they had run out of room and they needed more space, and so they had to cut down trees and make a place for them to dwell. And here Elisha is leading them and guiding them according to the will of God. And he says there in verse number 5, "But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.'" Amen. For just a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach on the subject, the fallen axe head. The fallen axe head. Amen. This represents, I believe, the condition of man. This axe head, as he was chopping down trees, and this axe head flew off and went into the River Jordan, I believe the condition of that axe head being on the bottom of the River Jordan, it is representative of man's fallen condition. Amen. We're living in times when man doesn't recognize their condition before God. You've heard the term secular humanism. I believe that what that means is people who believe that they have no need of any kind of intervention from God to get them to heaven, amen, to have any kind of spiritual thinking, amen, they don't need any kind of God, any kind of anything whatsoever, but literally they believe that they're gods within themselves. But friend, what we preach here, what we believe is what the Bible teaches, is that man is fully depraved. Not partly depraved, but man without God in his natural condition is fully depraved and is fully lost without God. Amen, and that represents how that when that axe head fell off, it went all the way to the bottom. Amen. It didn't float. It wasn't buoyant. It went all the way down. And so as these were working here, they were felling beams. Amen. And as it is it apparent here, they were doing the right thing. Amen. They was working. Amen. They was making an effort. They was doing things for God. Amen. And this axe head fell. You know, sometimes it don't matter what you're doing, even if you're doing the right thing, things will turn in the wrong direction. Amen. But this axe head, as it fell, it seems to some maybe a trivial matter. Amen. You and I, we can go down here to the hardware store. Amen. And we can buy an axe. Amen. We can buy tools. We can buy things. Amen. Of this nature. But you got to remember, in this time, amen, in this economy, an axe head was it was very different as far as economy-wise. It wasn't just like us going to the store and buying an axe head. It was a very expensive thing. Matter of fact, it was so expensive that he had to borrow it. Amen. But I want to talk here about the impossibility of its recovery. Here, the River Jordan is mentioned. Amen. Jordan is known for its murky waters. It's known, amen, that to being deep in places. And so this axe head went first all the way to the bottom. It was in muddy waters. As a matter of fact, Elisha come by and said, "Where fell it?" It wasn't obvious where it was at. It was hidden. Amen. It was in the Jordan River. Amen. The Jordan River is mentioned around 200 times in the Bible, and often associated with healing and miracles. Amen. It is known for its lack of water clarity. Amen. And currently today there are dams built in that area. Amen. That supply Israel's agricultural systems and make the river a more narrow than possibly than it was in this day. It would have been wider and deeper. Amen. Than you'd see today. Amen. And so the impossibility of its recovery. There was no way that Elisha or anybody else, any of these sons of the prophets, there was no way that they could physically retrieve the axe head on their own. It's the same today. Man in his lost condition, amen, is fully unable, amen, to recover from his fallen condition on his own. Amen. It requires intervention from God. It requires, amen, someone, amen, to come in and intervene. This axe head was irreplaceable. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter number 13 and in verse number 22, this is to give us just an idea of how rare that axes and tools and iron was in this day. Amen. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 22. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan and his son was there found. You think about a whole army in Israel here. And the only ones that had a sword was Saul and Jonathan. Amen. Let me tell you something. If the king and his son's the only one that's got a sword, I believe it was a time when things were scarce when it comes to metal. Amen. And I believe it to be no different in this time, that this metal would have been scarce to come by. I mean, I've done study and so forth on what it takes, amen, to just get a little bit of iron out of the earth. It's a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort to, amen. And so this axe head would have been very valuable. He didn't have the money to buy it. He didn't have the means to go down to the store and purchase it. Amen. And he had no ability within himself to replace this. No money could buy it. Money can't buy salvation today. Amen. Money cannot pay the price of a soul. Amen. The Bible says, what profit a man if he gain the world? Amen. And lose his soul. Amen. You can gain all the money in this world, but friend, it don't mean nothing to God. It won't buy your way to heaven. Amen. The Catholics today think that you can, amen, buy your way out of hell. Amen. That you can purchase, amen, your redemption. Amen. But friend, you cannot purchase redemption. Amen. You cannot purchase forgiveness. You cannot purchase penance. Amen. But friend, it takes the redemptive work of God. Money could not buy this fallen axe head. Money cannot buy man's fallen condition. Perhaps this axe may have been a family heirloom. What I'm trying to say is it's irreplaceable. You cannot replace it. And so as it stood, he borrowed this axe head. It's at the bottom of the Jordan River. There's no way, physically speaking, that he can return that axe head to its rightful owner. Man's fallen condition is very similar. It's impossible to recover from depravity. The Bible says that we're sinners by nature. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and 22, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Amen. We're sinners by nature through Adam. Amen. And so not only by nature, but we're also sinners by practice. You know, most people like to, they want to talk about, amen, well, can you commit this sin and still go to heaven? Can you commit this sin and not go to hell? Amen. And they want to categorize sin and so forth, and to the point to where you can commit certain sins and still go to heaven. Amen, friend, that ain't what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not a matter, amen, of what sins we commit. Friend, the reason you die lost and go to hell is just because you're a sinner, amen, because you have the sin nature, because you're lost and undone without God. Amen. It don't matter what sins you've committed or not committed. Amen. God puts us all in the same category. Amen. As sinners, amen, as depraved, as lost without God, dead in trespasses and sin. Amen. It's simple. Amen. God made it simple so we can understand that. Amen. This, just as the axe head was irreplaceable, you can't replace the soul. Amen. That's why the Bible teaches us that renovation of the soul will not work. Amen. You cannot try to do some kind of overhaul. Amen. We're all the time working on our houses, ain't we? Amen. It's all the time something you got to work on. Amen. But friend, that don't work when it comes to a soul. You can't fix it up here and fix it up there and turn over a new leaf here and turn over a new leaf there. Man, it takes, amen, absolute redemption. Amen. It takes absolute regeneration. Amen. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness as we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It takes absolute born again. That's what that means. Amen. Redemption. Amen. Not renovation, but born again means regeneration. Amen. That means being a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That's what God does. Amen. That's what man can't do that. Amen. When God saved me, amen, God done a work in my heart, amen, that I realized no man, including myself, could do. Amen.
Amen.
You can't replace the soul. Remember Brother Keith preached on the soul here a while back. That never left my mind. That never left my heart. How that God has given us all a soul. And man tries to keep and to garnish that soul. And what God is wanting us to do by faith is just give it to Him. Oh, thank God. Amen. You can't replace the soul. And friend, not only that, money can't buy salvation. Amen. There's no way that you can buy it. There's no way that you can, this axe head, even though that you could have bought a replacement, even though there may have been enough money to buy another one, it'd never been the same. There was no possible means. And so that's the fall. That's the axe head on the bottom. That's its condition is irreplaceable. Amen. Unable to get to it. Unable to retrieve it. And so secondly, this morning I want to see the law. The fall, as we see, and then now we're going to look at the law. Here, what does he say there? Look with me there in verse number 5. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, "Alas, Master, for it was borrowed." So, there's always the possibility, I believe, that he could have continued going on with life without seeing the need to replace it. I mean, there's people today, and I'm not trying to be mean, but if they borrow something off of you, you're lucky if you get it back, amen? And, you know, my dad taught me that if you borrow something, you try not to borrow something if you don't have to. If you borrow it, you try to return it back in either the condition it was in or better condition. That's just the right thing to do. And you be dogmatic about keeping up and remembering to take it back in a timely order. But undoubtedly, this man here, this sons of the prophet, this man that lost this axe head, he saw a great need and the severity of this situation. It just wasn't a cheap axe head on the bottom. He in himself wasn't able to say, "Well, that stinks for him. He's out of an axe head." No, he saw a need here. There was something more to it than just this man losing his axe head. Turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter number 22. Exodus chapter number 22. This is very important, I believe, to understand this passage of Scripture and how the Lord's laid this on my heart. 22 and verse 14. Of course, they was living under times of the law. They was under obligation to keep the law in this time. And Exodus chapter number 22 and verse 14. And if a man borrow aught of his neighbor, and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. I believe the law of Moses here in Levitical law required. It wasn't that this man needed to make a decision if he was going to try to replace it or try to, maybe the man would forget about it and he would just keep going on. But he knowed according to the law that he had to make it good with the man that he borrowed that off of. He had to make it right. And there was, as a matter of fact, there was something written saying that you've got to make it right with the man that you borrowed it off of. Amen. That's what the law says. The law says that you will pay. The law says that you will die. Amen. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. This Bible, this old book, amen, is what points us to God. It's what shows us, amen, that we're in a lost and a dying condition. You see, God could have been unmerciful in that He could have allowed us, amen, to live in our condition of depravity and never notify us in any fashion. He could have let us die lost in that condition, amen, and go to hell and still be a righteous and a holy God. But friend, God in His mercy, He sends His law. He sends the preaching of the Word of God. He sends the precious words of God in the form of this old book, amen, to tell us and to show us, hey, this is where you're wrong, and hey, this is where you can make it right.
Amen.
This book is what points us to God. Amen. He wasn't able to say, well, boy, he's out of an axe head. But he says, boy, I've got to make it right. Something's got to give. Something's going to have to happen. Amen. God uses His precious Word to convict sinners. Oh, I still believe in old-time Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. I believe that God takes this old book. Amen. He takes the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. As Brother Gary said in his testimony, amen, he takes his, makes it real to you. It makes it personal. It makes you realize that you're personally accountable to a holy God. Amen. It's not this fellow's sin. It's not America's sin. But friend, it's your sin that separates you from a holy God. Amen. I'm convinced this morning, amen, that there's somebody here in this place that's lost without God, and God showed you that you're saved, and you just need to trust Him, amen. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. That word convict means to convince. God convinces us through the work of the Holy Spirit. He convinces us that He's right and we're wrong. He convinces us that this book is right and we're wrong. He convinces us that there is a God in heaven. He convinces us that one day after a while we're going to die and we're going to stand before a holy God. He convinces us of those things. And I know that the day that I got saved, I was fully convinced, amen, that I was going to be held accountable to God. I was fully convinced. Let me give you an illustration. And one of the times of the persecutions in Queen Mary's day, they was pursuing a Protestant man and searching the house. By the way, amen, if you study history, I'm going to try not to get off on a tangent here or run a rabbit, but just be real careful whenever you study history. What they call Christian is not always Christian. The Christians, what they call a lot of times, were the Catholics, and they persecuted the true Christians. And so this is the Catholics persecuting the true Christians, amen. The Bible-believing Christians, they believe God. And so he's pursuing a poor Protestant and searching the house for him. They charged an old woman to show him the heretic. And so here they're calling what they call heretic, that's the true Christians, the believers. She points to a great chest of linen on the top whereof lay a fire-looking glass. He opens the chest and asks, "Where is the heretic?" She suddenly replies, "Do you not see one?" So what she was saying, the man that you see in that glass is the heretic. That's what the Bible does. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 12, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver purified, tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." It's likened unto precious metal that is absolutely pure. And whenever it's pure, you can look onto that metal. We talked about in our Sunday school lesson this morning about how heaven is going to be, there'll be no impurities there. Amen? But precious metals down here, you get them as pure as you can. And whenever that you wipe that dross off the top and the heat's been applied to that metal, it's like a mirror on top. Friend, that's what this old book does. Amen? When you read this book, amen, it's like a mirror. It shows you, amen, where you need to line up with it. It's not us trying to modify God's Word. It's not us trying to change God, but this Word is what ought to be that changes us. And so evidently, because of the Word and because of the law, this man was able to realize he was now in debt to this man. He was able to say, "Alas, Master, He said, for it was borrowed. He said, and that's in verse number 5. Amen. With the knowledge of this, he was able to say, alas, master. Amen. I looked up that word, alas, or alas. It means to express pain exclamatorily. It also means an exclamation of expressive sorrow, grief, pity, concern, or apprehension of evil. You know what? One day I realized, amen, in my life, amen, and I was able to say, I didn't say alas, it was borrowed. I said, alas, I'm going to hell, amen. Amen. I realized, amen, that what that preacher had been preaching on, I realized that old book he was preaching out of, amen, put me in a place where I realized I was dead in my trespasses and sin. But the same book that convicted me is the same one that converted me, amen. Amen. It brought me to a place I realized I was going to hell. Amen. And it also brought me to a place where I could realize that I could go to heaven and how I could be saved. In our text, it says, the man of God said, where fell it? Amen. When he said that, I was reminded of whenever God came to Adam in the garden after he'd sinned. He said, Adam, where art thou? He wasn't trying to figure out where Adam was. He was trying to get Adam to realize where he's at. Amen. And so here it says, he says, show him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast in thither. And the iron did swim. And I thought about this. I realized that there were several places in the Bible where God used either a stick or a tree to bring redemption and to bring healing and so forth. And so I thought about whenever Moses and the children of Israel come out of Egypt and out of bondage, amen, he delivered them. It wasn't very long that they run out of water. And they come to a place called Marah. And in that place called Marah, amen, the waters were bitter. Amen. And they were deadly. They couldn't drink those waters and they was thirsting to death. Amen. The Bible says that Moses, he cried unto the Lord and the Lord showed him a tree. And when that tree was cast down, cut down, cast into the waters, the bitter waters were made sweet. Amen. And here in this passage, amen, he used a stick that cast in thither and the iron did swim. Amen, he performed a miracle. Amen, and I was reminded, amen, of a tree in the New Testament. Amen, a tree, amen, that we refer to as Calvary. Amen, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Amen, the emblem of suffering and shame. Amen, that cross means to me, amen, is that Jesus, amen, paid our sin debt. Amen, so that we didn't have to be like that axe head on the bottom. Amen. But he performed a miracle when he rose from the dead. And just as that axe head come up from the bottom, amen, Jesus can bring us from the bottom. Amen. And friend, if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, Jesus can bring you off the bottom. Oh, it's that simple, friend. Amen. Salvation's simple. He doesn't make it complicated. He said you must be born again. Amen. You must be born again. He performed a miracle that day, and the same power that raised Jesus from the dead will raise you and I, amen, out of our trespasses and sins. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. I'd like for our musicians to come and play a song of invitation, Brother Dale to come. And friend, if you feel led to come pray this morning, you come on and pray if you're a Christian. If you've got lost family members, you can pray for them. But I just feel that I don't know why God would lay a salvation message on my heart for Sunday school and then wind up preaching it unless there's somebody here that's lost, need to be saved. And so, friend, as they play and sing, would you come this morning? If you've never been saved, you come. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Come to Thee, O Lamb.
Lost as I am and waiting now to rid my soul of one dark blood, to Thee whose blood can cleanse me, spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Thank you for coming this morning, and I appreciate the Lord, and do you miss our pastor this morning? Amen. I miss him, and I'm sure you especially miss him now, amen, after, but I really appreciate our pastor, and you know, this is Pastor Appreciation Month, and just obey God, amen. If the Lord puts it on your heart to bless him, give him a little gift or something, do that. Be an encouragement to them.